Well, good morning. It's a joy to see you all this morning. We are here this morning to celebrate the most important event in the history of the world, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As we dive in this morning, we'll start with our words for kids, and I do this every week, and the idea behind this is just to help our kids follow along in the sermon. I give a couple words, encourage you to write the words down, and kids, every time you hear the word, you can put a tally mark next to it, and if you show me that you tried, at the end of the service, I have, if it's your first time ever showing me, I have a journal for you. If it's your second or after that, I have stickers for you, just to help you follow along with the sermon. So our words for kids this morning are die and alive. Die and alive are the words that we're listening for this morning. Now, as you probably guessed, we're going to pause our sermon series working through Genesis chapters 1 through 3 as we focus in this morning on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So with that, let us pray together. Almighty God, you are holy, holy, holy. And because of your holiness, you cannot have relationship with sin. In fact, you hate sin. You hate all of our sin. We do not deserve to be in your presence. And yet, in your mercy and in your grace, you sent your only unique Son, Jesus Christ, to bear the sin of your people on the cross and to rise from the grave, so that by faith in you we may be forgiven of our sins and be given spiritual life and eternal life in you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in this place this morning through the preaching of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? There was something that I witnessed a number of years ago that has been stuck in my head ever since. It was a bird, and it was dead, and it was lying on the ground, and there were hundreds and hundreds of flies swarming above it. It was ominous, creepy, and eerie. And it was etched in my head because when I saw that, I could sense the reality of death. I could see the bird lying there all bloody. I could hear the swarming of the flies. It was almost like a horror movie. I could smell the stench of death. Death. It's an awkward thing to think about. It's tragic, but it is a reality. We will all die. Death is something that will happen to all of us. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, I can guarantee that every single one of us in this room will die. It is the only thing that I can guarantee will happen to us. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what you've done. You will one day die. I will one day die. So with that in mind, let me rephrase my question. When you die, will you go to heaven or hell? Death can be scary. Like I said, it can be awkward, but it is a reality for all of us. We will all die. But why? Why will we die? Well, our passage this morning will answer that question as to why we die, but it'll also give us the only solution for death. So let's look at our text together. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 22. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 22. Please take your copy of God's Word and turn there with me. I'm going to read all of that, but I'm really just preaching verse 22. I'm just going to read it all so we can get context together. So please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep or died in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And I'm going to read verse 22 one more time, because that's what I'm preaching on this morning. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. This is God's holy word that cannot and does not fail. You may be seated. Look at the first part of verse 22 with me as we dive in. It starts with, "For as in Adam all die." In Adam all die. Everyone who is in Adam will die. What in the world does that mean? Well, for us to understand what this means, we must go back to Adam, the first man in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2 and 3. And for us here, this is going to be just a little bit of a review. In Genesis 2, we get a detailed, special look at God's creation of man. In the first man, his name was Adam, because man in Hebrew, the word is Adam. And so his name is Adam. And just to be clear, we're not talking about Corbin's dad. We're talking about the first Adam. Had to say it. And God created Adam with both a what and a what. By way of review, what did God create Adam with? Both a what and a what? A body and a soul. Yep, that's been something we've been looking at. The first man was given physical life in his body, and he was given spiritual life in his soul. And that is true for all of us. To be human is to have a physical life. It is to have a body, but it is also to have a soul. It's just like a quarter has both heads and tails. For a quarter to be a quarter, it needs to have both. And for a human to be a human is to have both a body and a soul. You have a body and a soul. And after God created the first man, he planted this beautiful, lush garden in Eden, and he placed the man there, and in the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the man enjoyed perfect physical and spiritual life, and his spiritual life consisted of his dwelling in the immediate presence of God. He had an amazing relationship with God, and that is what it means to have spiritual life. Without a heartbeat, our bodies are dead. Without a personal relationship with God, your soul is dead. Is your soul alive? Now, the man in the garden was given a command by God. Does anybody remember what that command was? Linnell, you're shaking your head. Do you want to? Yep. Do not eat of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what would happen if he would eat of the tree? he would surely die. In Hebrew it says he will die, just placing the emphasis on death. If the man disobeys God's command, he will surely die. Now, is this a bad command or a good command? It is a good command. It is not good for them to eat of the fruit of the tree. What we've been looking at is that all of God's commands are blessings. So at this point in Genesis 2, the man is enjoying perfect physical life and perfect spiritual life. And at this point in creation, there is no death. Death is not a natural part of life. There was no death before the fall. And here's what we must note. Adam was the first man, and therefore he represents all of humanity. Adam represents all of humanity just like a team captain represents his team in the coin toss. So Adam is our team captain. Therefore, whatever he chooses to do will apply to all of us. Or to say it in another way, even though we weren't there, Adam represents us. Well, what happened? They were deceived by the crafty serpent. And what did he do? He twisted God's word to get them to doubt the goodness of God. And because of that, the woman took of the fruit of the tree and she ate. She disobeyed God, and then she handed some to her husband who was with her. And when they ate the fruit of the tree, they disobeyed God's word. And God was faithful to his command by bringing them into a state of death. And this is what we call the fall. Because of the fall, Adam and Eve died. They died physically, and they died spiritually. This is why God said to them, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." This is the curse of physical death. But then God also kicked them out of the garden in the immediate presence of God, out of relationship with God. That is the curse of spiritual death. God cannot have relationship with sin, and therefore he has to kick them out of the garden. Because of their disobedience, mankind fell into a state of spiritual death and physical death. Now remember that Adam is our team captain, so whatever he did and the consequences of what he did is going to come to all of us. The curse of physical and spiritual death that God applied to him now applies to all of us. Every human being born after Adam, which is all of us, are born in Adam. All of us in our natural state are in Adam. And this is what the text is getting at here, where it says, in Adam, all die. This is why I can guarantee that all of us will die. But why? Romans 5:12 helps us understand this even more. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Because of sin, we deserve death. Romans 6:23 says it like this, the wages of sin is death. Okay, so what is sin? Sin is disobeying God in anything that we think, feel, say, or do. And we have all sinned, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death, both physical death and spiritual death. Physical death because of disobedience, and spiritual death because God cannot have relationship with sin. Now, I'm going into a lot of detail here, and my point in saying everything that I've been saying is that we will all eventually die. And because we will die, that is proof, that is evidence that we are all sinners. If you were not a sinner, you would not die. But because you will eventually die, that is proof that you are a sinner. And the reason that you are a sinner is because you are born in Adam. In Adam, all die. And on our own, we are all spiritually dead, and we will die physically because we are in Adam. We will all one day die. And so again, when you die, will you go to heaven or hell? Has anyone seen the movie Sleeping Beauty? In the movie, The princess is cursed, and she's put into a place of deep sleep. And she's placed under this curse until she receives true love's kiss. And when she receives true love's kiss, she will be awakened from her deep sleep. But my friends, we are not like Sleeping Beauty in a state of deep sleep. We are dead, like the bird that I was talking about at the beginning, with the flies swarming around it. And so we must ask a question: how can dead people come to life? How can people who are spiritually dead in their sins come to life? How can people who deserve physical and eternal death for our sins come to life? It'll take a miracle for that to happen. And that is precisely the miracle of the resurrection. Look again at verse 22 with me. The whole verse. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Everyone who is in Christ shall be made alive. Jesus is the only way to life because he is the only way to God. Now, there's a belief out there that all roads or all religions lead to God. And in this belief, what they mean by God is eternal life. So the belief is saying, all roads, all religions give you eternal life. It doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe in something and it will give you eternal life. But think about this for a moment. How can all roads, how can all religions cause somebody to go from death to life? That doesn't make any sense. People who are dead cannot bring other people back to life. Buddha is dead. Confucius is dead. Muhammad is dead. Joseph Smith is dead. Every pope has died and will die. Every spiritual leader either has died or will die, and a dead person cannot bring other dead people back to life. But not only that, evolution cannot bring you from death to life. Being a kind person cannot bring you from death to life. Doing good things cannot bring you from death to life. Working hard cannot bring you from death to life. Not even baptism can bring you from death to life. Only Jesus can bring you back from death to life because he is the only one who has gone from death to eternal life. He is the only one who has conquered the grave. Jesus Christ is the only one who has defeated death. Praise God, Jesus is alive. And this is why we are gathered here this morning and why millions of people around the globe are worshiping God this morning, because Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. But for him to rise, it first means that he must die. Remember that the wages of sin is death, and we deserve death because of our sin. But Jesus was sinless. He didn't deserve to die. But why did he die? He died because when he was on the cross, the sin of his people was placed on him. The sinless one became the ugliness and the wickedness of our sin. He took it on, and on the cross, the author of life died. The only one who deserved life died in order to give life to his people. But he didn't stay dead. In fact, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He was dead and he has come back to life. He was raised from death, never to die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. He has triumphed over death, the grave, and hell. And he lives to die no more because he is himself the resurrection and the life. And through the resurrection, Jesus was publicly and irrefutably marked out to be the Son of God in power. The fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead is proof that God accepted his atoning sacrifice for sins. And on top of all of that, the resurrection of Jesus was witnessed by over 500 people. The resurrection of Jesus is an undeniable historical fact. Jesus Christ is alive. But not only that, 1 Corinthians 15 goes on in verses 45 through 47 and calls Jesus the second man or the second Adam. Everyone who is in Christ by faith will live because Christ is their representative. That means if you are in Christ, if you have repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, Jesus is your new team captain. If you are in Christ, he represents you. And if you are in Christ, whatever happened to him applies to you. That is his atoning death and his conquering resurrection. If you are on team Jesus, his resurrection applies to you. Who is your team captain? Is it Adam or Jesus? There are only two types of people in the world. You are either in Adam or you are in Christ. Who is representing you? The reality of our death is because of the reality of our sin in Adam. We deserve death because we are sinners. But on the cross, Jesus defeated sin, and in his resurrection, he defeated death. And if you believe in Jesus, these beautiful, amazing truths are applied to you. Or to say it in another way, the only way that you can be brought from death to life is if you repent and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so if you are here this morning and you have not repented and put your faith in Christ, I urge you for the sake of your soul to come to Christ today. And so I want to make it clear, what does it mean to repent and to put your faith in Christ? You repent by seeing the danger and the filthiness and the hatefulness of your sin because it is contrary to God's holiness and it earns you death. You repent by turning from all of your sin to God and the realization that God promises life in Christ to those who repent. And repentance is grieving and hating your sin so much that you endeavor to walk with God in all the ways that he commands. Do you feel this way about your sin? Have you turned away from your sin? Or to say it in summary, true repentance is seeing your sin for what it truly is and turning away from it. Now, when you repent, you're turning away from your sin, and if you're turning away from something, that means you're turning towards something else. And faith, then, is turning towards Christ. Repentance is turning away from your sin. Faith is turning towards Christ. And it's accepting and resting and receiving upon Christ alone for salvation and eternal life. Faith is the confident trust that Jesus died for your sins and he was raised for you. Sometimes when our youngest son disobeys, and I ask for permission to share this, but sometimes when our youngest son disobeys, he realizes it right away, and he takes off running. And when he does that, I will try to stay in a loving and yet firm voice, "Stop! Milo, come back!" And when he realizes his sin for what it is, and when he realizes the deep love that I have for him, he stops and he turns back and he comes to me. Beloved, Jesus is calling out to you in your sin and he's saying, stop. Come back. And when you realize your sin for what it truly is, and when you realize who God is in Christ Jesus and the love that he has for you, you will turn around from your sin and you will come back. Have you repented? Have you turned away from your sin and put your faith in Christ? Imagine Green Lake in the early spring. In the early spring, I'm sure you don't know how deep the ice is. It can fluctuate. And let's just say you had to walk across the lake. The most important thing that matters is how thick the ice is. You can have a strong faith in very weak ice, and you will not make it across. But you can have weak faith and very strong ice, and you are definitely going to make it across. My point is that it doesn't matter how strong your faith is. What matters is the object of your faith. And if the object of your faith is truly Jesus Christ, then you will be given new life in Him. Jesus is the only one who can bring you across the lake, so to speak. He is the only one who can bring you from death to life, because Jesus is the only one who has conquered death in His resurrection. And if you repent and put your faith in Christ, you will be saved. You will have new life. In Christ, all will be made alive. In Christ, you will be given spiritual life now and perfect life for all of eternity. In Christ, the spiritual life that you have now is called regeneration. And regeneration just means that you were once dead in your sins, but God has made you alive together with Christ. Regeneration is what Jesus is talking about when He says you must be born again. It is the new life that you have in Christ. Have you been born again? And if you are in Christ, you will not only be regenerated, but one day you will be glorified. You will still die because the curse of the fall has dug in deep. You will still die, but if you are in Christ, when you die, your body and your soul will be separated. Your soul will go to be with Christ in heaven, where you will await the second coming of Jesus at the end of all things. And at the end of all things, your body and your soul will be reunited in a state of perfection. Your lowly body will be transformed to be like His glorious body by the power of the resurrection. You will have perfect relationship with God, and you will get to live forever in the way that God intended you to live in His glorious new creation. And in the new creation, we will be together with all of the saints and all of creation, worshiping Jesus for all of eternity. And our hearts will be fulfilled in the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of God's love for us in Christ Jesus. And our peace will be complete as we stand face to face with our risen Savior. And we will enjoy the fullness of joy in the presence of Christ Jesus. This is what God is offering to us in Christ Jesus. The hope that we have as Christians is not in this life only. If our hope was in this life only, we would be of all people most to be pitied, as I read earlier. But instead, through Jesus Christ, and because of His conquering resurrection, our hope is in life everlasting. Hope that through the resurrection, death has been swallowed up in victory. Hope that through Christ, death now becomes the doorway to heaven. Therefore, beloved believer, as we celebrate the resurrection today, let us live in this great hope that we have. Hope that Jesus has conquered death for His people. Amen? In Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. Let us pray. Almighty God, I pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would help us to see the grievous nature of our sin, that You would help us to see how ugly and how wicked it is in light of Your perfect holiness. And I pray that for those who have not repented and put their faith in Christ, I plead with You right now that You would work in their heart, that they would turn away from their sin, and that they would come to You by faith. Would You be the object of their faith, and would they be in Christ? Would You be their team captain, and would they come to You? And God, I pray for those who are believers. God, I pray that as we consider the resurrection today, that it would give us great comfort, that it would give us great hope, that it would give us great encouragement, that death is swallowed up in victory, that death has lost its sting. Help us to live in this great hope and to celebrate deeply today. Christ, would you be the center of our celebrations today? For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.